Today on Seculo, the Supreme Court hears a case that could do major damage to Jack Smith's charges against Trump as Israel sets its sights on Iran.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
Right, the case today is Fisher versus Department of Justice. And again, this is a case which could have serious implications on Jack Smith's case against President Trump out of Washington, D.C. So Fisher versus the United States. Fisher was one of the people who did enter the Capitol. He was charged with a number of crimes, seven different counts, but he is challenging one of those counts, and that is obstruction of official proceeding under Section 18 of the U.S. Code 1512. And that's because there's a debate that goes back and forth between even courts now, the district court, which agreed with Fisher, the appellate court, which did not, which said that when you're talking about that code provision, that criminal code provision, you're actually talking about tampering with evidence. You're not talking about tampering with a actual procedure, like they had to, you know, slow down to have their procedural vote on the Electoral College counting. You're actually talking about tampering with evidence. And so there's this disagreement between the district court and the Court of Appeals. It's very significant that the Supreme Court has decided now to take this case up. And here's why. President Trump, unlike Fisher, who was charged with seven different counts, and this, he's only challenging one is unconstitutional, President Trump was charged with four, but two of those fall under this category. So if you erase those two of the four charges from Jack Smith, which are the conspiracy to obstruct an official proceeding and the obstruction of an attempt to obstruct an official proceeding, all you're left with is very generic, which the Supreme Court and federal courts don't love, conspiracy to defraud the U.S., how, and then conspiracy against rights, whose. So that's all Jack Smith would be left with, Logan, if Fisher is successful in this challenge. And I will say this. Usually you would say with these defendants who are usually found guilty, when they pick out one that they want to challenge in court, the fact that it's made it all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court means there's at least four justices on the U.S. Supreme Court who believe that the Court of Appeals is wrong and they're overbroad in their interpretation.
Yeah, I think you need to kind of clear that up so people understand that. To get accepted for this to happen, it's not like, oh, you just work your way up.
No.
You work your way up to a certain point, and then they make the decision whether they want to hear it.
Right. If the majority of the Supreme Court, let's say four of the Supreme Court justices at least, felt like this was 100%, that they were right at the Court of Appeals level, that it is broader than just actually going in and tampering with evidence, they weren't going to take their time to take another case high profile with President Trump involved because of how it would affect his January 6th case. But they have decided to. They're doing it today as we speak. And the ramifications are gigantic, because if the court finds that those charges are wrong, that they cannot be used in this context, then you can argue that with President Trump that they also are wrong and cannot be used in this context, which takes Jack Smith's case from four charges down to two, and it takes his two strongest charges, the conspiracy to obstruct an official government proceeding, you know, which is the counting of those electoral votes, takes those out, and you're left with some pretty weak federal charges, which, again, we can't predict where the Supreme Court's going on it. But what we do know, Logan, is that they were not satisfied with where the Court of Appeals came down on this. So that's huge.
Yeah, but we're going to take your calls about this topic, and also we're heading over to Israel in the next segment. We'll be joined by CBN News' Chris Mitchell, so stay tuned for that. 1-800-684-3110. I'm curious what you think the Supreme Court will do. Do you think they will side? Who do you think they will side with, knowing now what you know from Jordan of what it takes to get to this point? Where do you think they're going to go with this? Love to hear from you. 1-800-684-3110. If you're watching right now, I know a lot of you are, and you're brand new, hit that subscribe button. If you're used to watching, you know, on YouTube or on Rumble, hit that thumbs up, get a comment in there, and vote in the poll if you're on YouTube, because all of that helps more people see this and get our point of view shared. Go to ACLJ.org also to support the work of the ACLJ. And we just launched a brand new petition I think you're going to want to be a part of. We'll talk about that when we get back as well.
Champions aren't born. Champions are ordinary people just like you who choose to do the extraordinary, to go the extra mile, to do what is right no matter the cost. It can be a difficult choice, but one any of us can make, including you. You can make a difference. You can be a champion. The legal battles we fight and the victories we've won are only possible because of the support of ACLJ members like you. But many of our cases take not only weeks, but months and sometimes years. By setting up a monthly donation, ACLJ champions ensure we have the resources we need to take on these critical legal battles and win. By becoming a monthly donor, you become a champion of life, a champion of liberty, and a champion of freedom. Become an ACLJ champion today. Go to aclj.org/champion.
Hey everyone, this is Jordan Seculo. You've spoken and we've heard you loud and clear. That's why this month we're doing something big. We're proud to announce our brand new ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive. Our legal teams will be focusing on the issues that you, our ACLJ members, have told us matter the most to you: life and religious liberty. We're redoubling our efforts to beat back the radical left's attack on your constitutional religious freedoms and to defend the sanctity of human life. Life and liberty are the cornerstones of our great nation, but they're not guaranteed. When the values we hold dear are under attack, it's up to all of us to take a stand or risk losing them forever. This is not just a call to fund our legal battles. This is your moment to get in the fight. Just as before, every tax-deductible gift will be doubled, dollar for dollar, through the ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive, giving you twice the impact to defend your freedoms and help us fight to literally save lives. Join the ACLJ in the fight to keep America free.
Welcome back to Seculo. We are joined by a great friend of ours at the ACLJ, and of course, ACLJ Jerusalem, and that is Chris Mitchell from CBN News, who is their senior Middle East correspondent. Chris, you spend your time in Israel and the surrounding area. I want to ask you first more of a personal question about being there during this unprecedented attack, you know, on October 7th, and then this unprecedented attack over the weekend by Iran, a shooting both ballistic missiles and drones from Iranian territory into Israel. What that was like for you, for your family, and for your friends?
Well, it was kind of a surreal experience, Jordan. I was happened to be up in the Galilee. I was planning a day videotaping in the Galilee on Sunday, about 11:30 at night. Everyone who was getting the news that Iran had launched drones and ballistic missiles and cruise missiles. So I left the Galilee and I drove down to here to Jerusalem. We had a live stream on CBN News that night. And it was a surreal experience because you felt, because the drones took several hours to get here, everybody was anticipating where they would hit, how they would hit. We felt like it was going to be perhaps a massive, destruction or death here in Israel. And so that was a bit of surreal. In fact, I got onto the live stream, Jordan, and the host asked me, well, where are these drones coming? And literally moments later, we got the we heard the explosion here in Jerusalem. They were shot. There's stunning video. I'm sure you've seen it over the Temple Mount. Many of these, it looked like fireworks. They were all shot down, thankfully. And we heard the explosion and then the air raid siren. Yeah. I would say that it's a lot different now in a sense, because we're anticipating Israel's response and then Iran's counter-response, with the possibility that this is going to get much, much bigger.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of one of our themes, and one thing that we are kind of perturbed with the world, and specifically our government here in the United States, is to, you know, they basically said, well, Israel, since we were able to shoot these, you were able to shoot these down, and other partners were able to, you know, keep people relatively safe with a minimal deaths caused by Iran, that you really, really shouldn't respond with any kind of military action inside Iran. And, you know, you think about, Chris, this happening to any other country in the world, even if the U.S., you can use an example, but any other country in the world, if they came under that massive attack and their defenses and their allies' defenses, yes, were that good, they still, I don't think, would just respond with, hey, let's put some sanctions. Now, I know Israel's in a different spot. They're not one of the biggest countries in the world. So we'll leave it to Israeli leaders to decide what's best for Israel. But the idea that the immediate world reaction is don't hit back.
Exactly. And, you know, I think President Biden put it this way, you know, you got to win, take a win. And, you know, so many nations urging restraint. But as to your point, what other nation would allow 350 drones, missiles, ballistic missiles and cruise missiles to be fired at them? And even though it was a great success, you have to fight back. Jonathan Kenricus, we've had him on our show as well. He made the point, you know, the rules of engagement here in the Middle East, if you get hit, especially from your own, somebody else's territory, you've got to hit back. So Israel has to have a response, and it has to be likely on Iranian territory. When's that going to happen? Remains to be seen. I'll tell you one possible scenario, and I just got off the phone with Jonathan Kenricus. He thinks maybe Israel's going to take a bit of time to allow this coalition to build with the Arab nations and the United States, almost let Iran stew for a bit, you know, whenever Israel's going to respond. And maybe it's after Passover. Passover starts next Monday night for about a week, celebrating the Israelites' deliverance from Egypt. And I would add this, Jordan, a lot of people believe it was miraculous what happened the other night, that 99% of these 350 drones and missiles were shot down. You know, even I was talking the other night or listening the other night to one of the men who actually developed the Iron Dome anti-missile system. He thought it would be successful. He had no idea it would be this successful.
No, I mean, it's amazing when you read the stories about how much was being launched at Israel, and then you read the next day about how defensively, not just Israel, the United States, other countries like Jordan, Egypt, even Turkey passing along information to try and limit the casualties, understanding that Israeli response to Iran could be very dangerous for Iran. But you, I think you said it best, is that if we can get to that point again, Chris, where we can start putting together that coalition that existed maybe 4.5 years ago with the Gulf states and Israel to say, you know what, combined together, we can take Iran on, and we could scare Iran into stop trying to take these aggressive steps, whether they're groups that they're affiliated with are shooting missiles into Saudi Arabia or the Houthis or Hezbollah or Hamas, is that together we can really isolate Iran with that plus sanctions. And I think that idea of keeping Iran on its toes, not knowing how Israel may respond, is probably the best strategy. But I would imagine, again, any other country that faced this, Chris, I just can't imagine the world coming out and saying, please don't do anything.
Yeah. And, you know, you can go back even before October 7th, Jordan.
Yeah. I mean, if it happened to the U.S., Chris, we would flatten the country that did this to us.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you count all the rockets from, say, 2007, when Hamas took over Gaza, you're talking about 14,000 rockets. What other nation in the world would have accepted that? And it really became a bit of a lifestyle. People accepted the fact that rockets would eventually come, but what other nation would actually accept that? And to your point about the coalition, Jordan, the UAE and Saudi Arabia and Jordan, you know, all sort of stepped out of the shadows. They say this was a 45-year shadow war with Iran, and Iran stepped out of and into the light to a direct war with Israel. But I think also you had Saudi Arabia saying that they apparently passed on intelligence. The UAE and Jordan itself shot down some of these drones flying over their airspace. And so this coalition could be, you know, one of the brighter lights or silver linings to stand against Iran's ambitions to literally take over the region.
We have seen the world, Chris, try to create some political division within Israel. We've seen our own president, our own majority leader, Chuck Schumer, going after Netanyahu, going after various members of his government. Inside Israel, is this a uniting moment? I mean, it's been a lot for the Israeli people to take on. I mean, from October 7th and still dealing with that and the conflict in Gaza, and IDF troops are being killed there each day fighting back against Hamas, to this unprecedented attack by Iran. This is something we have not seen. Iran crossed this kind of red line. I mean, it's a lot for Israelis to again to kind of just accept as a country that is pretty good about life goes on. This has been a very tough stretch of the last 6 months.
Very, very tough stretch. I've heard somebody say Israel really needs a hot bath and a good night's sleep. But more than that, you know, you could almost call it, I think we're at 190 days. And they almost feels like time has stopped on October 7th. You know, the Israel of October 6th is not the same as October 7th. You know, October 6th and before that, it was very divisive with this whole idea of judicial reform. October 7th was a uniting aspect to this this country like never before, I think, the unity. And unfortunately, there have been attempts to sow discord, like Senator Chuck Schumer and we've been reporting and others have reported on trying to undermine the Netanyahu government. And I just saw a poll yesterday or the day before that really Netanyahu leads in the polls right now. And I think Israelis, first of all, don't want any foreign power, even the greatest ally, the United States, to interfere with their own politics. And I think they agree with the goals of the war and that Netanyahu was espousing to providing that they want to eliminate Hamas. They want to destroy Hamas. And eventually, and then the next thing is going to go to Hezbollah. And as we know, maybe in a day, 2 days, 2 weeks, to go Iran itself.
Chris, we appreciate you joining us live from Jerusalem. Chris Mitchell, senior correspondent with CBN News in the Middle East. And we appreciate all of your insight, Chris. I also, Logan, we've got a brand new petition up.
Yes.
At ACLJ.org. And we were writing this yesterday. I was out sick yesterday, but I said, you know, one thing I want to do is make sure we've got a brand new petition up about letting Israel decide how to defend itself.
Yeah, when you have
I don't want to hear
saying,
from Biden. I don't want to hear from Schumer. I don't want to hear from the UN. I want to let the Israelis decide if they want to move to the path of sanctions, if they want to wait a little while and build a coalition, let them do it. Stop putting this world pressure on them after these unprecedented attacks of October 7th and now over the weekend by Iran. And this petition says, let our ally decide how to respond to Iran. And that's what you're signing on to.
That's right. You can do that at ACLJ.org. When you hear people like President Biden telling Benjamin Netanyahu, take the win. Your defense is worked. That's not how it works. Be part of that right now. ACLJ.org to sign that petition. You'll see it right now live. You'll see it on the right-hand side of your screen if you go there. Do it right now. We just launched it. So only 50 people have signed it so far, but the goal is 50,000. So go do that. Cost you nothing. Go to ACLJ.org and support the work. Also, Jordan, just quickly for those tuning in, when we get back from the break, we are going to be joined by Danny Danone, but I do want to give him just give me 5 seconds on what happened in the Trump situation.
So the Trump situation, we're on day two. And of course, this is that the Supreme Court is hearing the January 6th. One of the charges with the obstruction of official proceeding. If the Supreme Court says that has to go from this other defendant, two of the four charges Jack Smith brings against Trump fall.
We'll talk about that a little bit later.
Hey, everyone. This is Jordan Sekulow. You've spoken and we've heard you loud and clear. That's why this month we're doing something big. We're proud to announce our brand new ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive. Our legal teams will be focusing on the issues that you, our ACLJ members, have told us matter the most to you, life and religious liberty. We're redoubling our efforts to beat back the radical left's attack on your constitutional religious freedoms and to defend the sanctity of human life. Life and liberty are the cornerstones of our great nation, but they're not guaranteed. When the values we hold dear are under attack, it's up to all of us to take a stand or risk losing them forever. This is not just a call to fund our legal battles. This is your moment to get in the fight. Just as before, every tax-deductible gift will be doubled, dollar for dollar, through the ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive, giving you twice the impact to defend your freedoms and help us fight to literally save lives. Join the ACLJ in the fight to keep America free.
Champions aren't born. Champions are ordinary people just like you who choose to do the extraordinary, to go the extra mile, to do what is right no matter the cost. It can be a difficult choice, but one any of us can make, including you. You can make a difference. You can be a champion. The legal battles we fight and the victories we've won are only possible because of the support of ACLJ members like you. But many of our cases take not only weeks, but months and sometimes years. By setting up a monthly donation, ACLJ champions ensure we have the resources we need to take on these critical legal battles and win. By becoming a monthly donor, you become a champion of life, a champion of liberty, and a champion of freedom. Become an ACLJ champion today. Go to aclj.org/champion.
Welcome back to Secchio. It is great to be joined by a great friend of ours, former ambassador to the UN of Israel, Danny Danone, who is also a member of the Knesset now in Israel. Ambassador Danone, first, let me ask you, because something that's got me upset as an American is seeing so many world leaders, whether it's at the UN or even the U.S. president, basically trying to tell Israel how it should respond to this unprecedented attack by Iran. And I just want you to know that our team at the ACLJ and our supporters at the ACLJ are coming together to make it clear that we believe that Israel should be able to respond the way that you choose, the way that you believe is best to respond to this unprecedented Iranian aggression.
Well, I agree with you completely. You know, we appreciate the support that we receive from different countries. But let me ask you that. Do you really think that if the attack was on London, for example, Prime Minister Sunak would have said the same, you know, show restraint? Or President Macron, if France was under attack from Iran? So I think we should be polite, tell them that we respect their opinion. But at the end of the day, we have to do what's important and for our security. And that's why I don't see any other option only to retaliate to this aggressive, unprecedented attack. And I believe it will happen. I don't think we have any choice.
Yeah, I mean, it does seem that without a response, this is what concerns me, Ambassador Danone. I know you're an MK as well, member of the Knesset, is that if this becomes the new norm for Iran, well, they can fire as many drones as they want, but if they, you know, tell enough other countries and enough of them get shot down and it doesn't cause as many casualties or deaths, that this is okay. That this becomes something normal that Israel has to put up with from Iran. That is not a way to live as a country. A country can't live that way. You can't flourish that way. You can't, I mean, especially after what happened on October 7th. Now that's what's happened over this weekend with Iran. You've got to push back in a way that shows, no, we are not going to accept this kind of action towards the Jewish state of Israel, and we are going to respond in a way that prevents those countries to make them think twice that this becomes like an international norm. That's what I'm concerned about. Like somehow, like President Biden said, taking this as a win. It's great that your defenses worked and you were able to work with other countries whose defenses worked. I think that's wonderful. But that doesn't always happen 100%. It did this time, and that's wonderful. But this cannot become the norm with Iran and Israel, where Iran gets to fire off whatever they want at Israel, including ballistic missiles, and Israel can't respond.
No, it's not a win. It's a win for Tehran, but it's not a win for Israel. It's not a win for Western democracies. Because the Iranians wanted to create a new equation that they actually decide when to start and when to end the conflict. And next time, you know, who knows what will be their excuse to target Israel again. That's why I think we shouldn't accept the idea of calling it a day and move on. We're going to retaliate. We don't want to start a full war with Iran. But we will have to send them a very clear and painful message. Don't mess with us. Don't mess with Israel. Don't mess with the IDF. And if you think that we are weak because we are busy now fighting Hamas and Hezbollah, you are mistaken. The same way we showed our defense capabilities, we will be able to demonstrate also our offensive capabilities.
It feels in some sense, Ambassador Danone, that Iran must, it's like they knew the world was going to take their side. I mean, it's kind of sick that you would think a country taking this aggressive action so recklessly, but that they somehow didn't fear the reaction because they knew the world. They take a look at the UN, they take a look at some of the other countries, and they say, you know what? None of them are really going to support Israel hitting back at us. So it'll ultimately, Israel will look like the bad guy in this situation. And I think that's what our job is here, like the American Center for Law and Justice, is to be clear to Americans and our supporters who support Israel that you as a country, independent country, a sovereign nation, have every right to respond to Iran however you feel is necessary. And that's it. That should be where the discussion stops. You've got leaders, you've got your military, you've got your capabilities, and I would hope the United States would be there standing with you. But regardless, it should be up to the Israeli government and military on how to respond, not up to world organizations.
Moreover, if you look at history, you can see that whenever we took the decisions ourselves without the U.S., at the long run, it was the right decision. Take, for example, the decision to attack the nuclear reactor in Iraq. President Reagan was not happy about it, but when the U.S. invaded Iraq, you know, the U.S. admitted that it was, you know, a very good decision for the U.S. Same when we attacked the reactor in Syria. The U.S. they were not happy about it. So I think we should look at what's good for Israel. For the long run, it will also serve the U.S. because when Israel is strong, the U.S. is strong. And that's why I think the U.S. should give us a support and tell all the countries in the world that there is moral clarity. And if you have a sovereign state attacking another sovereign state, we can defend ourselves and we should do that.
Ambassador, I think you've done an incredible job of taking Americans around, showing the aftermath of October 7th. And I think you've got a new job now, which is as Americans come and news agencies come to see what was done here to prevent massive casualty as well. But if you had that one message to the American people, and you're talking to the American people who support Israel, what would you ask them to do today?
You know, first, I would ask them to continue to pray and support us and to convince the elected representatives to stand with Israel and to realize that those drones can get to the U.S. You know, today they have the capability to come to our shores and our cities, but it's only a matter of time until they will have the capabilities to reach the U.S. Same goes for the ballistic missiles. So it happened to be that we are in the front line against Iran, but we have no conflict with Iran. We have no border with Iran. It's pure hate. Same hate they have against us, they have against the American values. And that's why we encourage everybody to stand up and stand with Israel.
Ambassador Danone, who's also an MK, a member of the Knesset, we appreciate you so much joining us live from Israel with that update. We'll hope you'll join us more in the future as Israel decides how to respond to this unprecedented Iranian attack. And know that ACLJ and ACLJ Jerusalem stands with the people of Israel and the government of Israel. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. We have, we're wrapping up. We're halfway through our Life and Liberty Drive, and we really want you to be a part of it in these final 2 weeks. Now, a lot of you have just joined us right now on YouTube and on Rumble, probably saw the headline. When we get back, we're going to be kind of resetting. We'll jump right into what that breaking news is. But for those of us that are wrapping up this first half hour with us, I want to tell you about the Life and Liberty Drive and the new petition we have just launched. Like I said, we're in the final 2 weeks here. Your tax-deductible gifts to the ACLJ will be doubled as we defend life and liberty here and across the globe. For the first time in history, we obviously saw Iran launched that massive aerial attack on the Jewish state of Israel, and they must be allowed to defend themselves. We've mobilized our offices in Jerusalem and on Capitol Hill and in Europe to defend Israel. And today, we are delivering a vital demand letter to the UN Secretary General, calling on him to condemn Iran's attack and defend our ally, Israel, and so much more. But we need your support. Go to ACLJ.org during our Life and Liberty Drive. Your tax-deductible gifts will be doubled. Again, during our Life and Liberty Drive, the gifts are doubled. Tape action with us also and sign that new petition. Do that right now. I'll give you an update on that number as well. When we get back, just a short 1 minute break. We'll be right back.
Hey everyone, this is Jordan Sekulow. You've spoken and we've heard you loud and clear. That's why this month we're doing something big. We're proud to announce our brand new ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive. Life and liberty are the cornerstones of our great nation, but they're not guaranteed. When the values we hold dear are under attack, it's up to all of us to take a stand or risk losing them forever. Just as before, every tax-deductible gift will be doubled. Join the ACLJ in the fight to keep America free.